Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our call for the first half 2025. Great to be here. As usual, I'm with our CFO, Pascal Perritaz, and our CRO, Volker Gloe. Look forward to walking you through this presentation and then taking your questions. Let me start with the key messages here I have for you as we continue to pace well towards our 2026 targets. First, our focused strategy execution continues to drive results, and we're pleased with a strong increase in net income of 11% versus prior year, underpinned by a cost-income reduction of almost 3 points and in total delivering an ROE increase of more than 1 point. Second, this performance uplift is driven by a number of levers, mostly benefits from efficiency programs as well as favorable loss and funding cost dynamics. Next, revenues and assets are stable. This is consistent with our approach of profitability maximization in a softened macro environment and managing the triangle of price, volume, and risk. This performance is also reflected in our strong capital position. Fifth, with this solid H1 performance, we remain committed to achieving our 2026 financial targets, supported by increased growth momentum we're seeing in target segments, continued efficiency gains, and active capital management. We go straight into the first half highlights. Net income came in at 87.2 million, up 11% with a strong focus on profitability. Net revenues and financing receivables are stable and roughly a 3-point decrease in the cost-income ratio. Loss performance is in line with our targets, and the ROE is up substantially to 13.8%, overall delivering strong capital ratio of 17.7% above our target level. Let me zoom in on the specific segments in the market. Personal loans, the market's been slow, in fact, slightly down. Consistent with our profitability objectives, we've been disciplined here in our underwriting and focused on retaining strong pricing. We have seen nice recent growth momentum combined with a mixed shift towards higher quality assets, and we'll have more on this a bit later in the presentation. In auto, a strong first half, leveraging our new leasing platform. As you know, we rolled this out, well received in the market, strong pricing actions taken, and grown our receivables by 2%. Cards financing receivables are up as well by 2%, as is the number of cards, with nice increases coming from both our co-brand and proprietary card portfolios, offsetting remaining cumulus runoff. Also, growth in our core Buy Now Pay Later platform with both volumes and invoices up. Billing volumes have reduced due to the planned exit of non-core partnerships. Next page, we've talked in the past about the dual purpose of our strategic transformation, and clearly efficiency is one key element, and we've talked about this, but equally strengthening our value propositions and more effectively using data and simpler processes and tools to drive engagement with customers and partners and resilience of our business model. We're excited to see the continued improvements and momentum here. These are just a few tangible examples across these objectives. In both business units, the pace of product and service expansion is accelerating, driving good account acquisition and regaining volume growth, setting a strong foundation for growth going forward. We've discussed in the past that we're investing in expanding our data, our modeling, and AI capabilities, and these investments are also paying off. We've seen, for example, substantial uplift in the performance of some of our recent CRM campaigns, as well as significant improvements in fraud detection rates using self-developed AI capabilities and testing samples. Both of these, just a couple of examples, we want to apply across the organization and scale up as we go forward. Last but not least, we could not be more excited about the continued benefits from our new auto platform. We've talked about this in a bit more to come. Processing times, for example, continue to drop, now almost cut in half, and straight-through processing rates are increasing. Again, just some specific examples from across the business illustrating the impact of simplification, digitization, and innovation in delivering on our strategic transformation. At this point, let me hand over to Pascal for a more detailed look at the financials.
Thank you, Holger, and good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to report a strong financial performance for the first half of 2025, with net income increasing by 11% to 87.2 million. These results reflect our successful strategy executions, improved efficiencies, and favorable development in loss performance and funding cost. With that, let's turn to the profit and loss. The 11% increase in net income is driven by lower provisions for losses and reduced operating expense. The net interest income remains stable at €84.3 million, with lower interest income offset by reduced funding costs. Commission and fees declined by 2% to €83 million, mainly due to lower credit cards and insurance fees. Provisions for losses decreased by 11%, and our CRO Volker will comment in a few minutes. Operating expense came in 6% lower at €127.3 million, and this is driven by efficiency gains from our strategic transformations. The cost-income ratio improved by about 3 percentage points to 47.6%. Let's move on to the net financing receivables and yield development. The net financing receivable remains stable at 6.6 billion, reflecting deliberate selective growth and a focus on profitability. Personal loans declined by 3% to 2.2 due to the selective underwriting and focus on lower risk segments. Auto lease and loan increased by 2%, reflecting continued growth and market share gains. Credit card receivables also rose by 2%, supported by steady customer engagement. And BNPL receivables decreased by 18% or 0.1 billion following the exit from non-core partnerships. Yield trends remain stable across products with past repricing measures supporting return. Let's continue with the net interest margin, or NIM. The NIM improved slightly to 5.4% compared to 5.3% in the last first half. Let me explain the waterfall chart. The adverse impact on the NIM, as you can see in the red columns, stem from lower volumes due to selective growth and reduced income from cash and cash equivalents driven by easing of the monetary policy, and are both expected to stabilize. And looking ahead, lower future interest expense should offset the effect of reduced pricing on new business. As a result of this, we anticipate the NIM to remain stable at around 5.5 in 2025. I will now hand over to Volker to comment on the provisions for losses.
Yeah, thank you, Pascal. As already seen in the P&L, we record for the first half a loss provision of 31.4 million, or translated into a loss rate that stands for 0.9%, and with that slightly better than last year. One driver should be highlighted in that context, and that goes back to what we communicated already in February when reporting on the 24 results. Let me just briefly recap on that. Due to a change that we saw in customer demand towards longer contractual tenors and personal loans, we were writing off an increasing number of accounts before all collections activities were exhausted, which means that the collectability of an asset could not be fully validated prior to the write-off. And hence, we synchronized and better the collections and write-off procedures to allow for this validation. That was implemented in Q4 last year, and we extended that to the auto book in Q1 this year. And this updated synchronization temporarily affects the loss rate positively. But we also see the opposite effect on delinquencies and NPLs, as assets that are in the collections procedures are kept longer on the balance sheet. The ratios for delinquencies 30 plus and NPLs are just mechanically going up. In the NPL graph on the upper right, we illustrated that and tried to adjust for this effect. So instead of the reported NPL of 1.8% under the previous logic, and that would be the comparison then, it would have been rather around 1.0%. So also without this effect and the adjustment of this effect, underlying core NPL performance has slightly worsened. And reason why is that we continue to see that certain customer segments are more exposed to the softened macro environment, where past cost of living increases, and here we're thinking about energy costs, rental, health insurance costs, it still affects customers' debt servicing capacities. So as part of our regular credit risk management, we have already addressed the situation by adjusting our risk appetite through underwriting policy setting. And the effect of that is highlighted in the bottom chart when it comes to the CR grade distribution. We see in the new business, and that's the bar on the right side, a CR distribution that is materially better to what we already have on the book, which is the bar in the middle. So consequently, all things being equal, we should expect that over time the asset quality improves. Nonetheless, I want to remind that we don't manage credit risk in isolation. As part of our DNA, we always manage this triangle, volume, price, and risk, to ensure that we get sufficient return for the risks that we are taking. And with a loss rate of 0.9% and the NIM of 5.4 that we saw on the previous page, this is certainly the case. So when it comes to the outlook for the full year, so considering the H1 performance, loss performance in H1, and also our experience around the seasonality between H1 and H2, we would keep our expectation of a loss rate of around 1%. And with that, I hand it back to Pascal.
Thank you, Volker. Moving forward with operating expense. The total operating expense declined by 6% to 127.3 million. The personnel costs expense reduced by 12%, mainly from an 8% reduction in FTEs. Depreciation amortizations decreased by 25% due to the life cycle completion of past intangible assets projects costs. This resulted in an improved cost income ratio of 47.6%, on track to meet the at or below 45% target for the full year. Let's take a look at the trends of the operating expense. The efficiency gains from the transformations program are materializing. The auto platform rollout and process optimizations contributed to improved productivity. FTEs declined by 8% year on year, I said before. As you can see in the waterfall chart on the right, the anticipated cost reductions of 35 to 40 million by 2026 is expected to be driven by three main factors: lower personnel costs resulting from already implementing restructuring measures and continued disciplined approach to hiring, efficiency gain in technology, including consolidations and decommissioning of infrastructure, as well as reduced funding for strategic projects, and reduced depreciation and amortization expense for some software and intangible assets reaching end of lifetime in 2025 and 2026, supported by increased growth momentum and further efficiency gain. We remain on track to achieve a cost income ratio at or below 45% in 2025 and below 39% by 2026. Now let's move to the balance sheet. Mentioned before, the net financing receivable stable at 6.6 with portfolio shift to higher quality assets. Our funding portfolio increased by 1% to 6.5 billion, mainly driven by saving institutional term deposits, and shareholder equity decreased by 3%, reflecting the dividend payout of 125 million in April this year. Let's continue with funding. The end of period funding declined to 143%, down from 153% at year end, driven by the easing interest rates and development. Following the successful redesign of savings offer in 2024, retail deposit increased by another 112 million this year. The retail funding increase allowed us to reduce overfunding source, leading to a more robust funding profile reflected in the NSFR of 120%. In June, we successfully priced our inaugural 150 million auto cover bond, further diversifying our funding source. This brings us to the capital. We remain very well capitalized with a Tier 1 ratio of 17.7% and above our target of 17%. The adoption of Basel III finance standards from January 2025 led to increased risk-weighted assets of 192 million, reducing the Tier 1 ratio by 0.6% as expected and communicated previously. Our capital and dividend policies remain unchanged. Through active capital management, consistent with our disciplined approach since IPO and confirmed as part of our strategy at our Investor Day in 2021, we aim to enhance shareholders' return on earnings per share by redeploying capital above our 17% target threshold. Our capital allocations priorities remain 1. Organic growth, 2. Disciplined M&A guided by rigorous financial and strategic criteria, and 3. Return excess capital via share buyback and extraordinary dividend. Before I hand over back to Holger, let me provide you with a deep dive on our two segments regarding our portfolio priorities. In lending, we aim to rebalance our portfolio towards more secured assets and higher quality assets, and improving risk-adjusted return. You see on the left side the portfolio shift with our return on financing receivables improving to 2.1% from 1.6% in 2023. In 2025, as mentioned by Volker before, we focus on higher quality risk segments, as you can see in the middle, especially for the unsecured personal loans business. We are pleased to see that our personal loans assets stabilized in second quarter 2025 and slightly increasing since Q2. Regarding payment, adjusted for runoff and non-migrated cards, the underlying cards business grew again. We launched several initiatives in H1, including scan to pay, click to pay, instant card onboarding, and new insurance offerings for the cards business. BNPL billing volumes declined due to portfolio consolidations, but the core BNPL volumes grew by 2%. Non-core mainly refer to the pure invoice processing. We expect revenue and volume to grow, growth to accelerate in the second half, supported by our innovations pipeline in both cards and BNPL businesses. With that, I hand over to Holger.
Great, thanks Pascal. So let me walk you through our strategy execution scorecard. You've seen the slide before. I'd say good progress across the four programs on the back of our strong DNA. As you've heard this morning, continued strong profitability focus. And we're also pleased by the work our team has done in launching the covered bond program, which further aids our funding diversification. We have now migrated all auto customers to the new platform. And again, you've seen the efficiency and simplification benefits that continues to deliver as we go along. Also, range of steps forward on the commercial side. So we launched a digital and simplified cards onboarding process for our Buy Now, Pay Later customers. You've heard about the new insurance offerings and service launch and payments. And we signed several new partnerships, notably with Globus, a large premium department store retailer, and Zalando, one of Europe's leading online fashion and lifestyle platforms. Last but not least, we continue to strengthen our team's engagement activities, and we're quite excited about yet again being recognized as one of the best workplaces in Switzerland. You see how this is reflected in the financial metrics on the right. Overall strong progress across capital, cost, losses, and ROE, and with the recent momentum, also a good outlook on financing receivables growth as we're heading into the second quarter. So let me bring this all together in our outlook. Look, a clear set of priorities for the second half, as Pascal alluded to, for lending, continued growth in auto, leveraging the new platform, delivering asset growth in personal loans on the back of recent growth momentum we've seen in our selected segments. Payments to drive growth based on the new service and features we shared, as well as the revamped loyalty program, which we will be launching. And beyond that, we will continue to deliver efficiency improvements through focused execution on our transformation programs. Overall, with that, we expect continued resilient performance across the business with net revenue growth at least in line with GDP, further improvements on the cost-income rate, and loss performance along our guidance. On the back of growth momentum, efficiency gains, and active capital management, we confirm our ROE outlook for the year as well as our commitment to the 2026 financial targets. So with that, thank you for listening to now and to this presentation, and we look forward to your questions.